Hello, everyone. I'm Pastor Steve coming to you from the nursery at the Wilton Baptist Church. We're really excited that this coming Sunday we get to resume offering to young families the use of the nursery, where we have professional volunteers ready to serve you and your children. And so please come early, drop them off early, and I think the nursery will be open around 9:45, so come on in. Church will be at 10 o'clock. In addition, we have Kids Life. This is children's church up to grade 3, and that meets in the Kids Life room. And please come early to register them, and then they'll come into the main service and sing with us for a little bit, and then be dismissed to their class and to their small church, their little church. Well, I'm so glad you've joined us here as we are concluding our study of Ecclesiastes. Next week, we'll consider how we learn and how we learn the Bible. And then, Lord willing, in a couple of weeks, we'll start our scatter groups. We'll have dozens of people all scattered throughout our region that will be studying the scriptures together. And we're going through 2 Timothy, Soldiers of Grace. And we want to be good soldiers as we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our faith. And so we'll be talking about that and looking forward to that. So thank you for being part of your small group right now, or your family group, or if you're watching it by yourself or with your spouse or with your family. And we're really blessed to be able to bring the Bible into your home. And we hope that you'll be a part of your scatter group here in a short time as well. Are you doing pretty good? Doing all right? I hope you're staying cool with all the heat the last few days. Well, let's pray, and then we'll start our study tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to meet and to gather, to pray, and to open the scriptures together. We pray for those who are hurting, those who are recovering, and we pray for those who may be spiritually discouraged, that you would lift them up, or maybe feeling lonely, that they would find you and find encouragement and strength from you. We do pray that you'll bless our study now as we look at Ecclesiastes. We thank you for all that we've learned from the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon. And we thank you we can learn from his mistakes and also learn from the experiences that he's shared with us. So, Lord, teach us again your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Some of my favorite verses in the Bible are some that we'll be reading here in just a moment in Ecclesiastes 12. Now, there's a lot of well-known statements that have been said about different things, you know, good quotes that you could find. Abraham Lincoln said this, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day." Are you wise? Would you be considered wise? Does God consider you wise? Abraham Lincoln said, "I didn't have enough wisdom. I had to seek wisdom from God, from somewhere else." And he would pray, seeking God's wisdom. Augustine, sometimes people say, call him Saint Augustine. He said, "I would rather have speeches that are true than those which contain merely nice distinctions, just as I would rather have friends who are wise than merely those who are handsome." So just the popular, they look good, or you could have a friend that's truly wise and they choose what's right and know right from wrong, etc. They have true wisdom in their life. That's a good thing to consider for us today. As we read the words of Solomon, essentially what he says is that we need to include God in our lives. Include God in your life today. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9, "Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, the making of many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh." All the students who just finished up school for the summer, they think, "Wow, you're right. It took a lot of hard work." And it does. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Those were my verses when I traveled as a teen evangelist and would preach all around the country, holding youth meetings. When people would come up and ask me to sign their Bibles, I would write Ecclesiastes 12:13. The conclusion of the whole matter. What's the purpose of our life? Why are we here? Fear God and keep His commandments. This is our duty that God has called us to. Solomon gives us some final advice. And final advice to those who listen to him in person and to those who have read since he wrote it down. And his conclusion is epic and life-changing and something that we need. Include God is Solomon's final charge. It's his final words of wisdom. And we need to heed this as well. Do we have wise words in crazy times? Yes, we need wise words in crazy times. And I encourage you, include God in the everyday, in these crazy times that we are living in. We need three things that we find here when it comes to including God. We need to keep teaching knowledge. And he expresses that in verse 9 and also in verse 11. Keep teaching knowledge. He called himself the preacher. Now he's the king. He's the son of the king. He's the wisest man. He's a teacher here in this verse. He's also called the preacher. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. He gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. There's a sequence to that we'll identify. Verse 11, the words of the wise are as goads, it's like something prodding, and as nails fastened by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Isn't that amazing? First, this idea here of one shepherd. The shepherd, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are using his words, the word of God, in our lives. That's where we find our wisdom. So keep teaching knowledge. Goads and nails refer to the way his teaching would stimulate to action and to keep it memorable. Words that move to action, the goads would prod an animal along. So think action when you read goads here. Like the heel of the rider into the side of the horse. It prods the horse along. Let's move. Giddy up. Let's go. And let's have some action with what we are doing and how we're living. What we're learning even moves us into action. And then words that anchor the soul. You drive a nail in and you can hang things on it. And it holds things together. It's stationary. It's firm. It's solid. We need to remain calm and steadfast in uncertain days. And so I love the picture, the analogy that he gives of goads and nails here. And really, the knowledge that we get, and he says he kept preaching knowledge. He kept preaching knowledge. And we need knowledge today as well. Who you listen to makes a big difference and what kind of wisdom you're going to live with. Worldly wisdom or godly wisdom. Who you listen to influences how you respond in tough times. How you respond to the crises and the chaos that we see all around our world. And the tough choices that you face. What are you going to do? How are you going to choose? What's your model? How are you thinking through what your choices are? When you add up and you try to figure out, is this good? Is this right? Is this what God wants? Most people just think, is this what I want? No, we must include God. Consider God. It's possible for you to know what kind of people others may listen to. I think about even the news. Sometimes just talking to somebody, I can tell what type of news they listen to or read. If it's more liberal news, if it's more conservative news, you can tell by how people talk and what they value and what they are speaking of and even how they're formulating what they say. And who is it that influences you? Solomon said the wise preacher just kept giving knowledge. He kept teaching the truth. Now, the words of the wise will help you to be steady, like the nail. And it'll move us to action, but keep us steady in the storms of life. Ephesians 4, verses 12 through 14. For the perfecting of the saints. Now, this is talking about preachers and teachers were given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in a unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. No, we don't have to be tossed to and fro. We can be stationary. We can be solid. We can be nailed, if you would. And so this is important for us. You see, Solomon gave good heed in this verse. Gave good heed while seeking out what was needed by the people. In teaching terms, Solomon knew his audience. He knew what they needed. He knew their fears, their concerns, their life stage, their issues that they were dealing with, the sins they were tempted by, and he would address those. In teaching terms, he knew his audience. This is a challenge for every parent, and it's a challenge for every teacher and every preacher is to deliver the right message at the right time, to give the right lesson at the right time, when it's really needed in the person's life. And so he also had a systematic approach. Notice how he set in order. So he gave good heed, and he set in order. This is primarily how we have the book of Proverbs. He set all these Proverbs in a particular order. Now, you could just go through and study the book of Proverbs, and he starts talking about different themes. It's kind of thematic, and sometimes it seems kind of choppy when you're reading it, but you can take it in small little sections, or here's a proverb, and they're somewhat connected and different the way that they're divided up into chapters a little bit. And so he set them in order, and he had a lot of things to say. We've enjoyed this series going through the book of Ecclesiastes, 12 chapters. We've gone verse by verse. Now, this is a Bible teaching and a Bible teaching preaching method. It's also a Bible study method. Just go by verse, and we've cross-referenced. We put a lot of the references on the screen. Sometimes at the conclusion in the discussion and application, we'll ask, can you share some other scriptures that are similar or go along with the same theme of what we've studied on that day? And so this is a systematic approach. We've enjoyed this. I hope you've enjoyed this, and I know I have. When teaching at home, when teaching yourself, when teaching your family, when teaching in a class, in the scattered group, and when we're teaching in Awana and at church, when we gather for worship, we should have not just random teaching. I hope that you have a goal when you're teaching your kids at home. It's not just random. You know, we're going somewhere. We want to know what's happening and where we're headed, even as a church and as a Christian and as the leader of your home. Don't just be random with what lessons you give to your kids. We're not just random in our church with our messages. I mean, we know where God wants us to go as we're going through the scriptures. It's such an important thing. So he set some things in order. Friends, have a plan. Go somewhere. In academic terms, this is called a scope and sequence. So here's what we're going to focus on, and here's a sequence. Here's how we're going to get there. And we need that. How do we develop our kids to be respectable young adults who love Jesus? Well, there should be a scope and sequence in your home. What are you going to talk about? What ages are you going to discuss purity? And how are you going to talk about marriage and family and work ethic? And every year you're building and building, you're building your child. Don't just randomly do that. Have a plan. Put a plan together. If you need some help, let's talk about that. Well, Solomon did that. I like that, how he takes heed, he ponders, he sought out, so he searched out some things like what's needed, and then he set in order. So this refers to his thought and his study and his arrangement. He had some purpose behind his teaching. So we need to keep teaching knowledge, include God in teaching knowledge. Number two, keep on learning. The best teachers are the best learners. I'm always cautious whenever a teacher says, I can't learn, or I don't know how to do that, I don't want to learn it. Well, the best teachers are the best learners. And we all need to adapt. We all need to keep growing. As long as we're still alive, we should keep learning things and growing. And even though, for example, school's out, keep reading books, keep studying, and keep learning. Acceptable words. Notice in verse 10, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Now notice how it's italicized there, that which was written. So he found acceptable words, written, and then upright, words of truth. So he found acceptable, upright, Words of truth. That's what the verse is saying. That's what he was looking for. And he kept learning acceptable words. Why would he study that? He wanted to know the right thing to say for back when he would be teaching. And so what are some acceptable words? Upright words. The words that he read were written words that were upright. Upright means straight and narrow. Straight and narrow. Upright words. Straight and narrow. Not very narrow there, but straight and narrow. And he learned good stuff, even being the wisest man. And we need to have that same motivation. He used true words. He would read and consider, meditate upon true words. Many places of learning today have discounted in the mind, should be discounted in the mind of a real truth seeker. So a lot of teaching you hear isn't based on truth. Conjecture, theory, ideology, methodology, the way we want it to be, how do we feel about it today, revision of history, etc. And we need to really consider what we are learning from other people. And Solomon wanted to keep learning, but he found true words. He found upright words. There are many lies and theories that are taught as absolute fact today. And we have generations of kids, generations of families now, who have been led astray because they've been taught false things or half-truths or just outright lies. Stick with the truth. Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. My words, but then also what I'm thinking about, let it be bring glory to the Lord, be acceptable to God. And what an important thing for us to consider. Who are you listening to? And what are you being taught? It will influence you. Solomon wanted truth for what he was being taught, what he was thinking about. Study is hard work, he continues then, because when you study, it's hard. The study of these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. I remember Bible college kids would talk about, there's going to be a lot of books, and it's a lot of hard work, and we don't need a lot of books. Well, there's going to be a lot of books, and the Bible says here a lot of books we read will be written and read. And there is a lot of hard work when it comes to study. And students, I know that you're glad class is over. In a few months, you'll be back to class. I know I'm taking another seminary class, and we'll be starting registration again real soon. But I had one of my own children say, my goal is to read 12 books this summer. I thought that was exciting to hear, because we should be reading. We should be studying. You don't just put your mind on pause and then go, just let things go around you. Keep learning, keep growing as well. Brain work is work just like brawn work. And I'm going to use my muscles. Well, your brain is a big muscle as well. It's an organ that works overtime all the time in your body and with your mind and how you think. Keep working your mind out and keep reading the Bible and other books. Keep working puzzles and try to solve things. Keep thinking and forming thoughts and articulating. Work at articulating what you've been thinking. Work on some math and listen to music and talk through philosophy. By the way, the more media a person consumes on any type of screen, the more media a person consumes, the less thinking for themselves is performed. There's studies that prove that. The more you watch something, the more you listen to the media, the less thinking for yourself you actually perform for yourself. Here's a study that was done. Social media have at least the two following important functions: socially, to connect with others, need to belong, and number two, manage the impression individuals make on others, like their reputation online. It continues to say, the emerging trajectory of acceptance, sensitivity, peer pressure or obedience, and emotion precedence may make adolescents specifically susceptible to sensationalist and fake news, unrealistic self-expectations, or regulating emotions through adverse use of media. In other words, you start to think like what you are watching and what you keep looking at, and you stop thinking for yourself. You're thinking what they think. You're saying what they want you to say. And especially it was about young adults, really. I think it was teenagers, young adults, age 16 to 23 in this study. And so they're not thinking for themselves, the more media. So if you're reading and studying, use your own mind, educate yourself, but make sure it's truth. Make sure it's accurate. Make sure you have it rooted in the Bible. Determined to learn truth and be able to differentiate facts versus feelings, reality versus agenda. Number three, then include God. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Keep fearing the Lord. The Hebrew emphasizes the words God and commands. Fulfill your duty. Fear God. What is it to fear God? Fearing God, the foundation of life, is to fear God, as one person said. That is reverence toward him, a proper acknowledgement of who he is and what he demands of men in everyday life. Here's my definition of fearing God. Fearing God is seeing God for who he is. Fearing God is you seeing God for who he is. And he says to fear God, then keep his commandments. That is to obey. To obey, fear, and then keep. That's a significant order that he gives to us. Conduct derives from worship. As one commentator described, the knowledge of God leads to obedience, not vice versa. It's the only place in Ecclesiastes where the commands of God are mentioned. The body of the book has placed two alternative views to us. Here they are. Life with God, life apart from God. Life with God, or life without God. And Solomon is saying, include God. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. This is your duty. This is what we need. Include God in our lives. And he says the plan ahead. In verse 14, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So plan ahead. Your works are going to be judged. God will say that was right, that was wrong. You were selfish or you were selfless. You did what was good, or you did what was bad. And so plan ahead. God will judge our works one day. Will God judge your works? Will they be good works? Will they be evil works? You know what they will be. You know what he will say. What does your life consist of? Well, from the start, you think about Proverbs, and now in Ecclesiastes, Solomon ends his life just like he began his life, saying, fear God. Here's Proverbs 1 verse 7. So at the very beginning, when he was younger perhaps, he said, fear God. When he's older, Ecclesiastes 12, he's saying, fear God. He had a lot of ups and downs in between, but we know that we can fear God. Proverbs 1 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Friends, include God in everything. Keep on teaching knowledge, keep on learning the truth, and keep including God in everyday life. Fearing God is seeing him for who he is. The secret of failure is that we see men rather than God. One person wrote that Romanism, he's speaking of Roman Catholicism, trembled when Martin Luther saw God. The Great Awakening sprang into being when Jonathan Edwards saw God. Scotland fell prostrate when John Knox saw God. The world became the parish of one man when John Wesley saw God. Multitudes were saved when Whitfield saw God. Thousands of orphans were fed when Mueller saw God. Is it not time that we would see God as well? See God for who he is and include God in your everyday life. Thanks for watching today. Please take some time to answer the discussion and application questions, and then pray with your group. God bless.